Well, good morning again. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And I'm excited to kind of wrap up this series. I know that sounds weird because, you know, like getting to the end of something. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. But the series has been really cool. And I really hope that you've been able to track along. And I hope that if you haven't, again, that you'll just plug in and kind of go back to those. Because when we talked about unstoppable courage and power and being able to have hope, an unstoppable hope, those things are some of the key things that I hear people talk about all the time when they come to my office, when they call me, text me. We run into each other and we get to have a conversation together. I hear a lot of talk about fear and about the lack of hope and just feeling like that you just can't overcome where you're at. And so those are some really important messages, and I want to encourage you to go check them out. But today, as we wrap it up, this is one of those things that I feel like I've been just anxious all week to get here to talk about it, because we're going to look at talking about the end of something and how we deal with the end of things. Because here, if I know one thing, it's that the end of stuff messes us up. We're not geared for the end. The ends mess us up. They become like tragedies to us. They become things that derail us. And that's this whole series, Unstoppable, has been about looking at things that get us off track and being able to overcome them so that we stay on track and we become that unstoppable train. You know, if you've ever seen the movie Unstoppable, it's about a runaway freight train and all the things they try to do to get it off track and to get it stopped. And they go through this crazy stuff trying to make it happen. But listen, you and I could be that unstoppable train. We could be moving along like that where things can't derail us and get us off track and stop us from being all that God wants us to be. And for too long, it's just been that we've allowed things to come into our lives and get us off track. And then, you know, the next thing we know, first, we stop hanging out with fellow believers. We stop coming to church. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying. We stop spending any time at all with God. And then before long, we find ourselves in the mess of life with nothing around us to hold us together. And so as we wrap up this series, you need to understand that this series is about giving us those things to hold on to so that we can be unstoppable as God wants us to be. And I believe as I read through the scriptures that is who He wants us to be and who He created us to be. And so today we're going to kind of deal with this as we look at how to handle the end of things. How do we go about that? John 19:30 says, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.'" We know that all things come to an end. Even Jesus' ministry on earth came to an end as far as him being here in the flesh, moving among his people. It came to an end there on the cross. Now, the people at the time looked at that and it had to look like one of the greatest tragedies of all time. Here's this guy that they trusted who had been teaching them these amazing things, who they'd seen do amazing stuff in their midst. Now he's hanging on a cross and he's dead. That had to look like some crazy stuff to them, because they had to have guilt because they didn't, you know, man, I hadn't believed everything that he had told me. They had to have regret. Well, you know what? He told us we could do these things and we didn't do them and we messed up. And so there had to be all kinds of emotions. Now, the thing about Jesus hanging on the cross then was that they could look at it and they saw the bad side of that and the tragedy of it. And the cool thing about us is we can look at it and see the tragedy, but know that that wasn't the end of the story. It was the end of him on earth here physically, but the reality was that the story kept going because Jesus 3 days later rose again. And we know that on the cross he paid the price for our sins, and that if we believe it and trust that, then not only can we be forgiven of our sins, but because he was raised from the dead, that you and I have the opportunity to live forever in a relationship with God, the one that we were created to have all along. That's the cool part. I mean, not very often do I begin the message with the gospel so that you can hear it, but listen, that's it. So as we talk about the end of things, you need to know that there's more to the story. And if we deal with the ends that we face here today, that story becomes even greater. and even more powerful in our lives. So listen, we need to listen carefully as we go through this, because we're going to hear some things today that I think, not because of me, but because of what the Word teaches us, because of what God's already said to us, that we can overcome so many things that derail us. Now, Jesus said it was finished and it looked tough to them, but we know that that wasn't the end of the story. Life does have its ends, though. There are all kinds of things that we face the end of. We face the end of jobs sometimes. We face the end of relationships sometimes. We face the end of a paycheck sometimes, like every month. We face the end of a lot of major things in our lives. We face the end of times in churches. We face the end of churches, unfortunately, in our day and time now. We face things that come along and it looks like, man, how am I going to move on? How am I going to get through this and be able to be all that I need to be? The end always comes for, that old saying, all good things must come to an end, and that is usually pretty true if you really think about it. I was at the airport one time and was kind of going down this walking, the moving walkway, right? And those things are really cool, and you can play a lot of games on them. You can have a lot of fun with them. You can turn around and walk backwards and just never move. And then you can do the whole thing about going down, and it just kind of, it's fun. You can just mess with people all the time on it because you got to find ways to do it. But here's the thing, don't do that if you're in a busy airport, because, man, you can cause some real problems. There was a little old lady one time who was on that moving walkway. She was going down through there. She was, kind of cruising, but all of a sudden she found that she was facing the end of that walkway. And what are you supposed to do when you get to the end of a moving walkway? Step off and do what? Keep walking, right? Well, she got to the end of it, stepped off, and stopped because she didn't know what to do next. She was so worried about falling and not making it off there that she stepped off and stopped in a busy airport. Guess what happened behind her? Bags and people went everywhere trying to miss her. They were falling over the side and everything because she had got to the end of that thing and didn't know what to do. Guess who gets to the end of things and doesn't know what to do also? All of us. We're not very good at facing the end of things. So today I want us to talk about that and be able to look at and see how that we can end things well and how we can be able to not back everything up and mess up the order of things, but that we can get on board and just be able to let God continue to work through us and move us where it is that He wants us to go. We come to the end of many things in our lives, relationships, marriages. Those are horrific things to get to the end of and realize that we have to end. Maybe it's a business or, special times in our lives we get to and we're like, man, it's over. People move away. And relationships maybe aren't quite to the end, but they certainly end the way they've been. And so you have to face what happens there. The scripture tells us in Revelation 22 that Jesus is the beginning and the end. That He is there from the start and He's there past whatever we see as the ending of it. He is always there. We can see what we usually have a really easy part with is seeing Him there in the beginning of things, don't we? And God gives us an idea, or we have this thought, or something comes along, and man, we are gung-ho about something in the beginning, and we say, God, look what God's doing. He's just moving. He gave me this idea, and He put these things in place, and so God's just moving me along, but then all of a sudden things start not to work the way that we want them to, and things begin to kind of trip us up a little bit, and guess who we don't see in the end of things? God. We completely fail to see Him there moving in those things. But the Bible says He's there in the beginning and the end. He's always there. So we need to be able to get much better at seeing Him in the end. The one who we often see in the end of things is who? If it's not Jesus, it's... Sounds like, I don't know. Come on, who is it? Satan. We always say Satan messed it up, didn't we? Or don't we? We like to give him the credit for the end of things, and Jesus the credit for the beginning. But listen, sometimes Jesus is as much in the end of something as he was in the beginning. It's that he's using the end of that to get us to the next place that he wants us to be. Satan does like to get in the end, but it's not the end that the same end that Jesus wants to be in. Satan wants to get in that and mess it up so that we take our eyes off of God. And Jesus wants to be there, so we put our eyes even more on him. We look at Matthew chapter 13, and we see the story of the weeds and the seeds, right? The seeds are there, and earlier Jesus has told a parable about the good soils and the different places that the seed falls. But for some reason here at the end of Matthew 13, the disciples, they want to understand the weeds part. And so Jesus begins to explain it to them, and he talks about the good seeds, and the seeds that he plants are those who follow him, and those who are the good, and those that are focused on him. But then the weeds are the seeds that the evil one plants, that Satan plants, and they are there to mess things up. If you plant good grass, and you have this beautiful lawn full of this nice green grass, and you go throw a bunch of seeds of weeds in the middle of it, what happens? Gosh, are y'all just, yeah, come on, seriously. The weeds take over. Who said that? Somebody's got it. There you go. There's a green thumb back there. The weeds take over. They will always choke out the good grass. They'll go rampant in it. You know, why do you think clover just is crazy in yards? It's because it's a weed that takes over and becomes more prevalent. If we allow those evil seeds to grow up in our lives, listen, it will choke out the good stuff. But here's the thing, that when we look at it, Jesus explains it to us in Matthew 13:39. He says, and the evil, or the enemy who sows them, is the devil. That's the evil and the bad seed. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. So listen, Jesus is trying to help us understand that even though Satan wants to plant weeds and choke everything out, the harvest doesn't belong to him. The end doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. And his angels are the ones who are going to be there. The end is what the enemy becomes concerned about, though. He wants us to give the end to him. And he wants to choke out any good stuff that could ever be in our lives. We need to be able to see that Jesus is as much in the end as he is in the beginning. Stay focused on him. Keep your eyes on him. Satan would love to park himself right at the end of something in your life. Whatever that list is, you know, we went through, whatever that is for you, he would love to park himself right there and that be the end. And you stay right there, which is what happens to most of us most of the time, right? We get focused on the end, and when something bad happens, we get to the end of it, and then we're like the lady on the escalator, and we stop. And that's where we are. But listen, Jesus wants us to keep walking, to keep moving through the ends that come into our life so that we can experience all that he wants for us. Satan would rob us from moving on to whatever God has for us next, but Jesus wants us to have it. And we need to be able to see that in his lives. Just because something's over doesn't mean it's time to stop. You need to hear that. Somebody today needs to understand that something's stopping, and that means you need to keep going, though. You need to understand that just because that ends, you can keep going. What is it in your life? What is it in your own circumstances that you need to see as coming to an end and you being able to move on and continue to go that way? I think about when it comes to death. Man, just think, you ever lost somebody in your life suddenly, unexpected? Where one day you're like with them and you're talking to them and everything's good, and the next day they are gone for eternity. You'll never speak to them again here on earth. Man, that's crazy, isn't it? That's one of those ends that become, that really just slam us down right in our spot. And I think about the night that my mom passed away, and I'm like, man, she's, you know, everything's fine 2 or 3 hours before that. And then the next thing you know, the end is here. And so what do you do with that? For a lot of us, when those ends come, we stop. We allow disappointment, we allow guilt, we allow regret, we allow all those emotions to come in and fill us up and keep us from taking another step forward towards what God has for us. And those things are tough, they're difficult. But listen, that's not who Jesus wants us to be. We talked about fear. You know, one of the things that stops us in our tracks when things go wrong and something comes to an end is we're afraid to go forward. We're afraid it's going to happen again. But we know that because of who Christ is, that we don't have to have fear like that in us. We can have unstoppable courage in our lives. That's one of the messages that we went through. We know that we can continue on. God wants us to have an unstoppable life. He doesn't want us to be slammed where we are. But an unstoppable life doesn't just look for God in the beginning. It looks for life, for God in the end as well. And we need to be able to do that. People that have unstoppable lives recognize that just because something's over, it's not time to stop. It's just time to look for what's next. What's God doing next in my life? Where does he want to take me? Where does he want to help me move forward? Regret is one of those biggest seeds that the enemy likes to plant when end comes. Regret is described in the dictionary as pain of mind over something that may have happened. Pain of mind. Think about that. Torture. That's really what regret is. It's torture. And where does regret come from? It comes right out of the enemy's weed closet. He's got it there for us. He pulls it right out, dumps it in our lives, and it begins to choke out the good in our lives. Regret has to be something that we overcome. Hebrews 3, verse 14 says this, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." If we have a relationship with Christ, we need to understand that we can hold our confidence, not just in the beginning when things are good, but we can hold our confidence even to the end. We can hold our confidence all the way through. It's difficult, yes. But we know that because we don't have to do it on our own, that we can cling to Him and He will take us through that. The enemy parks himself there and wants that confidence to be diminished. But check this out. Philippians 1:6 says, Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Listen, what are you confident about? I think one of the things that we struggle with the most is if we lack confidence. We lack confidence in who God really is and wants to be in our lives. We allow the weeds to get in there and begin to destroy our confidence in Him. But listen, the Bible says that we can be confident in Him and know that He'll carry the things that He wants to do in our lives, the things that He created me and you for, that he'll carry him all the way to completion. Because that's who he is. He's the beginning and the end. And we need to be able to trust that. Don't allow the end of an era to mark the completion of your destiny. Don't allow that to be the end of your life and just and moving forward the way that God wants you to move. Don't let the end of things stop you from being all that you were created to be. The old saying is, it ain't over till the big woman sings. We'll say it that way, right? And that's the truth. She ain't singing, y'all. She's not. And we need to keep moving. And we need to keep trusting her and having confidence in Him. So here's the reality. We're going to get to the end. We're going to get to the end of things. We're still going to have to face ends. So what do we do with those? How do we get beyond them? So let me give you three things that help us face the end of anything. All right, so is that pretty general for you? The end of anything, whatever you come to in the end, you need to be able to face it. So here's, let's spend the rest of our time talking about these things. The first thing is that you need to believe the best for the future. Just believe the best. The best is yet to come. I believe that. I believe until I take my last breath that there will be best things coming. I believe that for you as much as I do for me. That if we'll keep our eyes focused and confident on who Jesus is in our lives, we will go through difficult times. We're going to go through a lot of ends before we get there. But the reality is, if we can keep our eyes focused on Him, we already know that He's won. We already know that in Him, the victory's already there. So I know that there are better things to come. There is a victory celebration to come, right? One like the Panthers did when they won the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right. Oh, man, I forgot. Oh, so anyway, like the Broncos did when they won the Super Bowl. See, it's not even football season yet, and I just threw one in. So the reality is, man, listen, we've got to be ready for the celebration that's to come, the victory that's out there. Believe the best is yet to come. Believe that the better job is to come. Believe that the better relationship is to come. Now listen, don't dump your wife because you think there's a better relationship coming. I'm going to talk about dumb decisions in a minute. But what I'm saying is if that's where you come to, and that's the only resolution that comes out of it, listen, come to the end of that and know that God can bring you through that to put you where He wants you to be. He's got better things for you. Believe the best. The people of Jerusalem were taken captive, and they were in Babylon. And we find that they were there, and in this captivity, the end of their freedom had come. Anybody in here in captivity? No, we're pretty free to move around, right? I know we could argue that point in some ways, but the reality is we're pretty free, right? We can do what we want. But think about the people of Jerusalem. They were taken captive. And they were in Babylon there, and their freedom gone, and this really cool time where God speaks to them. And He says something to them that's just, it's amazing. Now here's where we take this scripture and we apply it to us, and we think, yeah, time, life's tough, and God's got something better for me and all this stuff. But these people, He was talking to them when they were in chains and in bondage. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is like the verse that I have clung to in my marriage, my family, everything. I've clung to this because there are times where we feel like we're in captivity. But listen, these people really were when God said this. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He's talking to people in bondage, y'all. And so can you imagine being in chains and being treated like a slave and hearing the words, "I have a hope and a future for you"? You're thinking, yeah, right, I see that. And see, some of us are feeling like we're chained up and we're bound up, and we're looking at God saying, "God, I don't see you in the end of this. I don't see you in this end. I don't see you coming through on this." But listen, God wasn't done with them. See, He says, verse 11, after He says verses 4 through 6, that kind of makes sense, right? But He didn't say verses. He was just talking to them, and they're recorded in verses. But here's what He said earlier to them. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive." He's letting them know that He knows their situation. He says, "whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." What? He calls them to be carried away. He's the reason He allowed that to happen. And He's telling us that He's got a future and a hope. "God, you let my marriage fail. God, you let my job end. God, you took this away from me. You took that away from me. And now this is what you've got for me." Sound a little familiar? Yeah. Been there too, right? So, but then He says, these words soon. He says, "build houses and dwell in them." If you build a house somewhere, aren't you pretty committed to that place? I mean, Kelly and I built a house in Salisbury before I got called into ministry. We built our house there out on family land in the middle of a big 5-acre field. It was the house that we, a dream house. We built it. I was making a lot more money she was making a lot more money. We were like, life was really good, and we were living. We built this house on family land because that's where we wanted to be. I had said since I was this tall that that's where I was going to build a house one day, and so I did it. And then the end of something came, right? The end of life as I knew it, for sure. God calls me into ministry, and he says things are going to change. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You're going to, what? But here's what he hasn't said. He didn't say to get rid of my house. He didn't say that the end of that was there. He just said, listen, life as you know it is ending, and I'm going to do something different in your life. And so we still have our house, and it's there, but the reality is I know what it's like. We were committed to that. We got a mortgage and everything, right? We were committed, and if you build a house somewhere, you're committed, and God says, look, you need to be committed to this place. You need to be committed to the end of your freedom. You need to build your houses, and then he goes on and he says, you need to plant your plants. You need to plant gardens and eat their fruit. You need to get used to it. You need to take wives and beget sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You get what God's saying? He says the end of your freedom as you knew it and end of life as you knew it now is followed with, you're going to be here a while. Not just for you to get a wife, but for your sons and daughters to be married and them to be, your grandchildren to be married. You're going to be here a while. But I have a hope and a future for you. See, we look at the end of things and we see the tough stuff. And the whole time God's got a bigger plan for us. So I'm telling you that we've got to be prepared to see the best for the future. We got to look forward and not see the tough stuff. We can't see how bad our situation is. We've got to be able to see good things because God has things for us. If he's brought us to the end of something, there is something better, and we need to believe the best for our future. The second thing is this, that we need to speak to the future. Now that's kind of weird, isn't it? That's a really interesting point in a good old Baptist church. Because we tend to think, man, if somebody speaks the future, if somebody prophesies and they do that in that church. We don't do that in our church. We can't do that kind of stuff. The reality is, it's not about a church or a denomination. That's biblical. Because what we're talking about is not prophesying, not trying to name it and claim it kind of thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that God wants to hear us talk about what it is, the desires of our hearts, and he wants us to speak to the future. Now, hear me out on this, because the problem is that we get so focused in on what's right and what's wrong and what we can do in church and can't do in church. Listen, here's what we ought to be focused on, is for too long the church has become a place where all we do is talk negative. We become so focused on what we're against and never what we're for. We become so focused on what can go wrong rather than what can absolutely go right when we have the confidence to believe God for who he is. We say we can't do that because we don't have the money for it. Instead of saying, you know what, if God told us to do it, we need to do it and know that he's going to provide somehow. We just got to believe him for the things that he's called us to. And we get so discouraged and we say, you know what, man, church was really down this week, so you know what, I'm not going to go next week because there must be something really wrong there. But see, the first time that we get, you get two people to think that, and then they don't come. And the next week you get five people to think that and they don't come. The next week you get 10 people to think that and then they don't come. And guess what? You end up with a bunch of empty seats. And you end up with a bunch of empty churches sitting around our county that could be ministering to people, but they're empty because people have just said, you know what, things aren't going good here, so I'm going to leave. And the reality is we need to stay. And then we need to begin to speak positively to the future. Quit talking about the negative junk. Negative stuff will spin us around, and when we come to the end of something, if we're only focused on the negative side, I promise you will stop and people will run all over you on the walking elevator of life. Or walking, whatever, belt. You got me. the walkway, whatever, the moving walkway. You got me. But that's what happens. So be willing to speak to your future. Psalm 45 says this, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. A good theme of what God wants to do next. Something positive. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Rather than speak defeat into your life, speak positively about what God's going to do next. Quit focusing on the old stuff and the done stuff. And focus on the positive about it. We can get so focused on disappointment and sadness that we get stopped right where we are. But we got to be willing to move forward. Psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our lives. That's a powerful word for every single one of us. And when was the last time, just don't answer out loud, when was the last time you thought that for yourself? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I know what we've thought. Surely broken cars will follow me the rest of my life. If you know me personally, you know that's been the story of my life lately. Thank goodness I know people know how to fix them. And they love me enough to help me out. But we say, surely dead-end jobs will follow me the rest of my life. Surely bad relationships will follow me the rest of my life. Surely, you know, my crazy kids are going to follow me the rest of my life. Yeah, that's what my dad keeps thinking. But he follows me here. I don't know. I'm saying. But the reality is we tend to say, surely the bad stuff will follow me, instead of saying, surely the good stuff will follow me. Surely God created me for something better than this. Surely God has given me gifts and talents, and I know that I can, if I will use those, that great things will happen, not just for me, for the people that are touched by them. Surely good things will happen. Surely there's a better job for me because I'm just going to trust God for it. Surely this job could be better if I would just quit being so negative about it. You know, that's for some of us, that may be a good word. But as we face the end of things, are we focused on the negative of it? Or are we looking forward to the positive of it? What is it that God can do next? Here's the final thing that can help us face the end of anything, and it's this. Commit to the future. I know that's like a cuss word in the church. Commit. That's like, you know, that's like saying something unwholesome. Doesn't build nobody up there. The pastor talking about commit. That means I got to show up for something. That means I got to be there on a regular basis. That means I got to do something. That means I got to give something. That means I got to be there and I might even have to say something. Listen, if that's the case, then if you're committed to it, you ain't going to worry about it. You're going to know that this is the right thing to do. If we're going to get through the end of things, we got to commit to the future. We got to be willing to just know that there's something better and that we can't just stop here because there's nothing better here. It's come to an end. We've got to be committed to move on to the future because that's where God is taking us. As long as you're trying to hold on to something which has come to an end, you are not committed to the future. We will stranglehold things that are dead. We will grab onto them and hang on for dear life. You ever been driving down the road? See, this, I can use this in Stanley County. If you're driving down the road and you got your windows down, surely, no doubt, you are at some point going to drive by and this odor is going to hit you and it's going to be like, whoa, what was that? And then you're going to be like, you're going to look and like over on the side of the road, you're going to see two or three buzzards. And you're going to realize that it's something dead, right? Because dead stuff, man, it stinks, doesn't it? You ever come up upon it and you looked at it and said, look at all those maggots in it. You ever seen something really dead that's been sitting there in the heat for a little while and it's been blowed up and all the maggoty stuff is all crawling around on it and it's like moving on its own? It's dead, but it's moving. You ever seen something that dead before? You ever seen it when it busts open and the gooey stuff runs out? Are you with me now? You're getting a picture of that? And I mean, can you smell it? Just take, come on. Do it with me. So one, two, three. Just smell it. It's nasty and it stinks. Guess what we do with stuff like that? Stuff in our lives that has come to an end and it's over. We will hold on to that and we will carry that around with us. And we're walking around and we're like, man, you know, I kind of like this, you know. And everybody else is like, golly, that stinks, y'all. You need to ditch that, get a bath, you know. But we'll hold on to something that's dead forever because we think that that's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we feel like makes us better. That's what makes me feel good, right? Some of us are holding on to some habits in our lives that God's trying to kill that are dead, and we know for a fact that God doesn't want that in our lives, and we are holding on to that dang stinking maggoty carcass, carrying it around, stinking up the place when we need to let go of it and let God make us smell better and take us to something greater. It's killing, those things are killing our marriages, they're killing our relationships and our jobs, and they're killing us. But if we'll commit to be able to know that God brings things to an end for a reason and He wants to take us through those things, that if we can commit to go beyond it and let go of it, then man, He can do some great stuff in our lives. He can bring us the joy that the Bible talks about. He can bring us the peace and the comfort that we're desiring in our lives, but we're missing out because we're holding on to the dead stuff. I'm kind of passionate about that, can you tell? The problem is that we've got to be able to see what God's up to. We got to know Him. We got to get to know Him, spend some time with Him so that we know who He is and how He works, and so that we can know that there's something better for us. I know you're sick of hearing me say, man, you know, we need Bible study. We need prayer. We need those things. But listen, those are all pieces of us having a relationship with the Father that we're meant to have. If you don't have that with your wife, I promise she's not going to be happy with you. And you're not going to be happy because she's not happy. If you're not having that with your husband, listen, you're not going to be happy. See, that those are when we talk about those things, listen, there are some ends that we face in life that are ends not because God brought us to that place. It's because we brought ourselves to that place. It's because we made dumb decisions. I've made enough dumb decisions in my life that brought me to the end of stuff that I know that I will continue probably to do that. I just hope I do it a whole lot less. So we can't put that on God, but we can know that if we're at the end of something that we got there ourselves, then listen, we got to believe Him that He can take us through and give us something better, because He says He'll work all the way through to complete whatever He started in our lives. It may just not look like it could have looked, but it will certainly look like it's supposed to look, because God can do that. We have to commit to go through the end to get to where God wants us to be next. I had a friend in high school. Actually, we were in middle school at this point, but he decided he wanted to be a running back, right? And so eighth grade football, we're there, you know, and so I was the center, snapped the ball, right? So played that even then, and so I snapped the ball. They'd hand it off to him. He would get to the line of scrimmage, and he would fall down. I mean, nobody would even touch him. We'd open up a hole that you could drive a truck through, and he would trip at the line of scrimmage every time. And he would just run and boom, right? You know, just fall. It's like, dude, come on. And so finally one day at practice, you know, we just kept running this play over and over again. Every time he'd get there and he'd trip. Finally my coach walks over and he just stomps the ground. And like, we're like, what in the world is going on with him? He looks at my friend and he says, okay, the grass monster's dead. He can't trip you up anymore. But if he does, what you have to do is you have to run through him. If he pops his head back up, you have to run through him. You have to commit that you're not going to just run to that point, that you're going to run through him. And you know what? They handed him the ball. He committed to run through, and he ran through, and he didn't even stop till he got to the end zone. So the reality of that is that some of us are running, and the grass monster is jumping up, tripping us up, and that because that's as far as we've committed to run. And we keep getting to the same place in life, tripping up, falling down, and that's the end. And we focus on how bad that hurt, or how bad, gosh, I just can't get past this point. And we haven't committed to run through it. And so today I'm asking you, will you commit to run through the end of these things so that you can truly believe the best for the future? That you can speak to your future and know that something good can come of it. If we'll just commit to run through, then listen, God has promised us that He will complete it. He'll take us to the end. We may face the stops and starts of life, but if we'll commit to go through, I promise that He'll take us all the way through and we'll come out better than we ever dreamed we could be. God, today I pray that You would move in Your Word. God, I thank You so much for bringing us to this place, God, that today as we come to this moment, God, surely in this room there are lots of ends that people are facing. They have to make a choice. Are they going to stop and stay where they are? Or are they going to move through? Are they going to believe the best for the future? Are they going to speak positively about what it is that You have for them? God, are they going to commit to go through and commit to make the future all that You want it to be? God, You have shown us over and over and over again that You want to move in our lives in a positive, great way. And though we may make bad choices and we may face times where things don't go our way, God, You have promised us that if we'll believe You and have confidence in You and trust You, God, that you will take us through and do amazing things in our lives. God, there are testimonies of that in this room right now of how You've done that already. So God, I pray that wherever we are and whatever we've got, God, we drop our pride, we drop the negativity, we drop all the things that we've been carrying around, telling us that you don't love us and You don't want to do anything for us. And believe what Your Word teaches us in whole, that You love us, that you created us for a purpose, and that You want the best for us. So God, in this place today, I pray that You would free people who are captive to the end of whatever it is in their life. And they would let that go and they would begin to see the freedom of ending well and moving on to the future You have for them. God, for those that need to know You today, that don't have a relationship with You, that have never come to a place of committing their lives to You, to just trust You, to be that confidence, to be that leader in their lives and that Savior that we all so desperately need. God, I pray that in these moments they would commit to let You be, to be all that You desire to be in their lives, to be their Savior, to accept the free gift of salvation and to confess their sins and be free. God, for those that have been living, knowing that they're free, but bound up by the captivity of not being able to end things well, God, free them today. Whatever it is that you need to do in these next few moments, God, have the freedom to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.